By day, our guest today on Rainy Day at the Batch is a biomedical engineer at Christchurch Hospital. After hours, he becomes the self-proclaimed bicycle pope. The Sunday afternoon cycling church aims to take worship out of often dimly lit churches and make it more of a part of people's outdoor activity. And there's also some really useful teachings about bicycles. Good morning in Christchurch to Stephen Muir.
Good morning.
So the cycling church, is that a sort of a reaction to a, you know, an upbringing in traditional dimly lit churches?
Well, yes, I am involved in a Baptist church here in Christchurch, the Island Baptist Church, and I'd often go into the church hall on a bright sunny Sunday morning and find myself thinking, oh, I really actually feel more spiritually connected to God outside when I'm biking on my bike rather than in the church. And I mean, it's a very good church, but still part of me really longed to connect that outdoor activity, cycling around the Port Hills, with a sense of being connected to God. And so yeah, that's where the Sunday afternoon cycling church began.
Did you talk to others about it?
Yes, I tried to get lots of friends involved, and at one stage had quite a number of people coming along on a Sunday ride. Began to find the organisational overhead was more trouble than it was worth, so I've sort of scaled down the operation a bit now, so it's usually just me and a couple of friends going out, and I find that more personally rewarding.
So what was the response of the church itself, the people on the in the indoors church, if you like, to your idea that it might be better off outdoors?
Well, I think a lot of people were very receptive to the idea, and it actually grew out of a number of discussions with people in the church about how we express our spiritual journey as Kiwis, because often the church models that we have are American or English, and they're either, you know, very formal or don't quite sit well with the Kiwi mentality. So this whole experience of connecting with God in the outdoors, I think, is something that Kiwis can relate to very well. So often people go out tramping and they have that sense of, you know, being alive, or, you know, feeling closer to God, or however you like to describe it, and they might not even attribute that to anything to do with God, but that's something that I think people can relate to quite strongly.
So when did you have your first outing?
It was about 2003. We were doing some training rides for the La Race ride over to Akaroa here in Christchurch. So I started putting a few notices in the Island Baptist Church newsletter, letting people know about it. And actually the notices became more and more sort of humorous as it went along. And I actually put a collection of those newsletters together in a book, which I've called Prozac, The Profound Revelations of Sunday Afternoon Cycling Church.
Anyone think you're being a wee bit irreverent?
Yes, a number of people have expressed that. The newsletters were actually published in the Reality magazine when it existed, part of the Bible College of New Zealand. And the first chapter was on the role of woman in church. And you might be aware that some very conservative churches restrict the roles of woman. So I had a few biblical passages explaining why we encourage women in leadership in cycling church. And one person got quite offended and wrote a letter back to the editor complaining about my lazy and slack theology, and I found it reasonably entertaining. So there has been the occasional person get a bit upset, but mostly it's been received with the good humour that it's intended to be in.
So how does a service or an outing with the cycling church go? What sort of activity goes on there?
Well, pretty much we like to cultivate the idea that cycling in and of itself is your act of worship. So we don't have any formal prayers or, you know, talking bit or anything like that that you would expect in a church. So it's encouraged that you view your act of cycling as your offering to God, if you like. So that is sufficient of itself. So if you're looking from the outside, you'll just see a bunch of people riding around, but it's the attitude of mind that I'm trying to cultivate, of being aware of God while you're cycling and seeing that appreciation of God's creation as an act of worship.
Is the idea caught on anywhere else?
Yeah, I'm aware that there's a church in Wellington who's taken on
Wow.
the idea. I haven't managed to make contact with them yet to see how it's going, but yes, I think there's a group there who are going about it, and I've had a number of inquiries from other people around the country who have been quite impressed, and haven't managed to get enough people together in one particular place yet to start a significant group, but yeah, there has been a bit of interest around the country.
Wellington, a bit more of a test than perhaps Christchurch for cycling.
That's right, yeah, it has its challenges, that's for sure.
So there's no sign that this is, you know, going to catch on overseas, and there might be a bit of a network forming or something like that?
Well, actually, there's a lot of people in Victoria who are well aware of the cycling church, Bike Victoria. It's a very large group, and they did an item in their newsletter. So there has been some exports around the world.
Right, well, the cycling we haven't talked a huge amount about, but that has its own particular place in your life. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but we've come to your first piece of music. Tell us about this.
Well, this song, I actually went on a trip down to Mount Cook and ended up cycling back. And while I was cycling, it took a few days. I composed a number of songs. This was one of them. It partly originated because I'd often go out on bike rides, and a friend of mine who was quite musical was complaining the fact there was no cycling songs. There's very few songs written about bikes, and particularly the sort of virtues of bikes versus cars, that kind of thing. So I was thinking it'd be really good to try and write some. So that's where the song came from. It's encouraging the use of bikes instead of cars. And so, yeah, that's where it came from.
When the bikes ride everywhere. Oh, when the bikes ride everywhere. Then the cars will be needed no longer. Oh, when the bikes ride everywhere. Oh, when the bikes
ride round the town.
Ride round the town. Oh, when the bikes ride round the town. Then the air that we breathe will be fresher. When the bikes ride round the town. When the bikes ride down each street. Oh, when the bikes ride down each street. We can save fossil fuels for tomorrow.
Yay!
When the bikes ride down each street. When the bikes
ride down the school.
Ride to the school.
When the
bikes ride to the school. We will increase the health of our children. When the bikes ride to the school.
When the bikes ride off to work.
When the bikes ride off to work. Then the roads will be much less congested. When the bikes ride off to work. When the bikes go to the shops. When the bikes go to the shops. We can load our food in a trailer. When the bikes go to the shops.
That's Oh, When the Bikes Ride Everywhere, the first song by and from today's guest on Rainy Day at the Batch, Stephen Muir, Christchurch's self-proclaimed bicycle pope from the Sunday afternoon cycling church. Well, in that song, Stephen, bit of an environmental carbon footprint message as well. Obviously, the cycling, quite apart from the church, is something that you've got some pretty strong views on.
Yes, I guess that arose from the sort of thinking that if I believe God created this world, then God would also like us to look after it. And so it was a natural progression to try and think, well, how do I personally look after this world better than I can? And the sort of use of the bike over the car was one thing that challenged me a bit, and I tried to think about how I could reduce my car usage. And I'd often find myself using the car when I had a load to carry. And so I thought, well, surely I can make a trailer to carry loads instead of using the car. And so I built up a couple of trailers out of old scrap metal and old bicycle wheels and was quite impressed with them. So it sort of grew out of that.
And so what are you lugging around in the trailers now?
Well, the first load I carried was my bass guitar, an amplifier, which is quite a heavy load. Oh, it's probably a good 40 kilograms or so. I put my kayak on. I can bike sort of 12 kilometres out to the beach with my kayak on the back and go for a paddle in the surf and bike back. There's a number of fruit trees around our central city neighbourhood with fruit that just goes to waste, so I'd often put a couple of bins and a 3-metre step ladder on and cycle around to the tree and load up the bins with 40 or 50 kilograms of fruit and bring it all back and bottle it up, sort of as a way of, you know, using your locally grown fruit and not letting things go to waste, those kind of things.
So you get young,
and shopping.
Yeah. You've got a young family. Is it family transport or not really?
Well, I don't generally use it as family transport. I have the two children's seats on my bike, so I tend to use those for the younger children and encourage the older children to bike by themselves. So they've got a number of setups, and I have a specific child-carrying trailer, so I'd use the commercial trailer for carrying children rather than my sort of custom load-carrying trailers. But they're ideal for a trip to the supermarket, and we demonstrated their use quite effectively in a couple of events that I organised called the Supermarket Challenge.
which involves...
Well, there's three lots of bikes versus three lots of cars. Each had to carry two children and go to a supermarket and return with a week's worth of groceries. So we ran it over 2 years, and in all cases the bikes came out ahead of the cars, except in one case where the bike had to stop for a toilet break, so they made it back a couple of minutes later than the car in that case.
So when you're on a bike with a 40 kilos of something in the back, how much does it add to the effort required?
Oh, it slows you down. No, definitely not twice as hard. Probably a quarter as hard again. So, you know, 25% reduction in speed, or you just chunk down a couple of gears and you go slightly slower. So rather than 25 kilometres an hour, sort of a standard biking pace, you'd go 20. If you had a really heavy load, then maybe you'd go down to 15. But it's actually quite surprising what you can carry with a trailer, because most of the weight is going down onto the wheels, and it's a bit sluggish starting and stopping when you're getting the load up to speed. But you can cruise along at quite an acceptable pace. And you don't, if you've got a big load on, you tend not to be in a race anyway. So you can just plod along slowly and enjoy the ride. That seems quite fine.
I guess in this time of rising fuel prices, if cycling in particular and trailers as well is to catch on, someone I guess has to start making them commercially. Are we, you know, starting to see that day approaching?
Yes and no. There are a number of trailers available commercially. The Bob trailer, for example, is very popular for touring as a single wheel trailer. They're not really designed for just round town pottering though, so it's quite difficult to put lots of groceries in it, for example. And you can get child carrying trailers, but again, I tried one out for my bass guitar, an amplifier, and found it a very awkward load to try and fit in. And they're expensive as well, so you're typically paying $600 or $800 for a decent trailer. So I thought, in order to get them more into the mainstream, they're going to have to be significantly cheaper. And so I've started producing a lightweight aluminium kit set trailer and encouraging people to add their own wheels. So get second-hand wheels off an old kid's bike for $5 from the garage sale, and you save yourself $150 on the new wheels for the trailer.
Do you harbour any great cycling adventures?
Well, my main goal is to see supermarket car parks full of bike trailers. I'd like to get away on more bike rides, cycle touring around New Zealand as well would be quite nice, and to see a lot more people commuting to work on their bikes as well. The traffic congestion that I see around Christchurch has got some room for improvement anyway, and I often do a wee exercise with my children, just counting the number of cars that have one person in them, and there'd be 9 out of 10 cars, or 8 out of 10 at least, who would just have one person in them.
Cycling have a special place in your summer?
Yes, we often go for bike rides at Burwood Forest with the kids and lots of hangers-on. It's a very good activity to do, and just commuting around the central city to the various parks and swimming pools and libraries and museums that are all at an easy cycling distance for our kids. That's great. And I've got a few ambitions to do the rail trail down at Central Otago as well, but I gather that's better done in autumn when it's a bit cooler. The peak heat of summer is a bit much there.
I would think so. You'd need a trailer for the drinks on that one.
Sure would, yes.
Stephen Newell, we've got to the time for your second and final piece of music. Tell us a little bit about what you've chosen here.
This is Bruce Cockburn's All the Diamonds in the World That Mean Anything to Me, conjured up by wind and sunlight sparkling on the sea. It's talking about the appreciation of the beauty of the world and the importance of that, that there are a few things in this world that are more important than the beauty of the world that we live in, and that is more satisfying than having lots of stuff. And often those two are quite opposed to each other. If we consume more, we erode the beauty of this world. So it's just connecting that appreciation of God's creation that sort of inspired the cycling church with how we look after this world and the need to, I guess, live simply and have less of a destructive impact on the environment that we live in. So that's the reason why I chose that song.
In this world that mean anything to me are conjured up by wind and sunlight sparkling on the sea.
lost the taste for being free. Thank God he sent some gull-chased ship to carry me to sea. Dying trees still grow greener when you pray. Silver scales flash bright and fade in reeds along the shore. Like a pearl of liquid jade, his ship comes shining like a crystal swan in a sky of suns. His ship comes shining.